Let's open our Bibles now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We will start reading the verse number 12 and we go through verse 22. But the verse that we will really think today, it will be the verse 18. But we will read all this part of the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 12. This is the word of God, and he says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." We will read again the verse 18. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is a very important book, especially for Paul. Probably the book of Thessalonians, the first book of Thessalonians, was the first book that Paul write after his missionary trips. And it was interesting that Paul passed through this church for only 3 weeks. If you go to Acts number 17, you will see that Paul stayed there for 3 Sundays. That means that he stayed in this church for 3 weeks. And during 3 weeks, he teached for this church everything that now he is speaking again in the book of Thessalonians. This is what he says in the first verses of this book. "I will continue to teach what I already started to teach you." And it's impressive because this letter to this church is a very interesting letter, and it will speak about many things. And here in those few verses that we read it, it says, like, for example, that they should respect their authorities, that they should love each other, that they should try to have peace among themselves, they should rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances, they should test all the prophecies. A lot of interesting knowledge about God, and they were speaking about all those things. But the first thing that we need to realize about this church is that the Thessalonians, they grow up in a different situation from most of us. This is a persecuted church, including when Paul was through them. They were trying to arrest Paul and Silas, and instead of take them, they took Jason and they arrested him because they wanted to take Paul. This is in Acts 17:2. And we can see that beginning there, they continue to have problems with the persecution of the Jews, and after that, with the persecution of the Romans. So this is not a church that grew up in a very good condition. They were being persecuted. They were being arrested. Many of them died for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now we are seeing Paul teaching them about thanksgiving, about being thankful for everything in all the circumstances. But we will move our eyes only for this part of this chapter, just for verse 18, and we will try to divide this small verse in four parts. I know that will be kind of a challenge for us, but I hope to be able to transmit everything I want to tell you today. The first thing that we need to understand that give thanks, it's an order of God. This is something that we need to realize. The phrase here is written in the imperative. And when we have this, the imperative, we need to understand that this is an order of God. We have the same thing in the Ten Commandments. You shall not die. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. All of this is written in the imperative. And here we have the saying, give thanks. That means this is not something that we can choose to do or not. This is something that we must do. We need to give thanks. He's not trying to convince us that this is a good idea. He is not trying to say, well, you need to give thanks in many situations, but in other situations, you can think about it and try to find something good. No, he's just saying, give thanks. And when we have the phrase like that, that means this is a commandment to the church of God. Of course, this is not a commandment given by Jesus Christ, but of course we have here a commandment that Paul gives to us being the mouth of Jesus Christ to the church of Thessalonians. And he is saying to us, give thanks. And when we think about a commandment, and we learn that in the Confessions of Faith, we need to think about what this commandment is forbidding and what this commanding is trying to make us do. Well, the first one is what this commandment is forbidding, and is forbidding that we murmur, we commit murmuration, complaints, no satisfaction, irritation, lack of patience, envy, and many other sins that we can commit when we don't give thanks. We need to realize that this is something common for us. When you wake up in the morning and when you open your window and you see the snow outside, at least for Brazilians, this is something scared. We just think, oh my, I don't know if I will survive. And it's too cold. I want to be at home, safe, warm. And you start to murmur easily. Like we start to say, oh God, I don't want to stay here. I want to go to Florida, as many Americans do. I want to come back to Brazil, as many Brazilians think. You start to not being grateful for what God is giving to you. You can do that in many other situations. When you see someone working in his home, a home office, and you need to go to your office every day and work there, and you think, oh, I wish I had this job. I wish I didn't need to go to there and to speak with other people. I'm a lonely person. I want to be alone. And you start to complain, to envy them, and it's simple. This will grow and grow. And finally, you will see that you are not giving thanks for anything in your life. These things, they are all together. They don't happen separately, one for the other. They just start to grow in our hearts, and we just forgot to give thanks to God for everything. But the commandment, it's not just to say what we should not do. The commandment needs to bring us what we should do. And this is the most important part of this commandment. Give thanks, because God is giving you many and many reasons to give thanks to Him. And this is what our eyes many times forgot to see, or they just ignore. Like, we are here today. It's a wonderful chapel. It's a wonderful family of God. All of us, we are warm, even being cold outside. We had breakfast today. We are healthy. We are alive. And the best part is we are praising our God and Savior. So many reasons. And probably most of those things, we just saw it happening and we ignored to say thanks to God for all of them. This is very simple. When you get up in the morning, you had a good night, you will take your breakfast, you see your fridge filled with food, you have a hot coffee or a hot tea, you will enjoy life beginning in the morning, but you just think about your problems instead of glorify God for the small things He's giving to you every morning. This is something that needs to change in our hearts. This is something that needs to transform our reality. This is what Paul says in other texts when he says he learned to be grateful for all things. It was not something that he knew it before. He was someone who doesn't give thanks to God, but he learned to do that. He learned to see the beauty of God, the glory of God in the small things and in the big things too. And then he becomes someone who could say to the Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. But we need to move. And the second part here is is when he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And I call you to move your eyes to in all. In all doesn't mean for all. The words in Greek, en and gar, they are very different. The meaning of in all is, in all things we must celebrate His name and give thanks. But we cannot do that for all things. Like, when I commit sin, I will not give thanks to God for the sin. Oh God, I want to thank you because I commit sin. This is something strange, and of course we cannot do that. But we need to realize that once we commit sin, we are already in this situation. We can move our eyes to God and ask forgiveness for our sin, and because of the forgiveness, we can give thanks to God because He is pardoning us, giving pardon to us. So, in all things is different for all things than for all things. And we need to realize that, because many situations we just don't understand that we need to defer those things. When we listen, we need to give thanks for everything. I will not give thanks for that, for example. That is something bad. I know that many situations, it can be a blessing for many people who are struggling in this life and suffering and all in other situations too. But that is something that shows us what the sin had made with this word. We don't supposed to die. This was not the first plan for the creation of God. We need to understand that this dead is something that breaks the reality of the creation of God. We don't suppose to have body and spirit separated because of that. They should be one as we are now. You cannot see your spirit because you are one person before God. And this is what we are. And I will not celebrate that. I will not give thanks for that. But I will give thanks because God already won the dead. He already conquered the dead. And because He conquered the dead, I am sure that I will live with Him forever. This is different than give thanks for die. Can you see? Can you understand that in all things means that we see ourselves in any situation, the good situations and the bad situations, we need to celebrate God for what He's doing to us among these situations. And continuing, in all circumstances, then we need to see that in all means in any situation, we need to fill our hearts thankful to God. That means that in many situations, including those situations that will broke our hearts and minds, many others that will broke our bodies, many others that will destroy our faith and try to bring us down, we need to see that God will be with us and give thanks to Him in all circumstances. It's interesting because it's very easy to give thanks to God when we have good situations. When you got a new job, when you have a new grandson or a new granddaughter, when you discover that you will be able to travel for some place and enjoy life, it's very easy to give thanks in these situations. Well, the life is good, I'm eating well, I'm with my family, having a wonderful time. It's easy to do that. But the Bible doesn't show us situations like that. In the most situations of the scriptures, we will see the apostles, for example, giving thanks among many tribulations. You can see John in arrested. He was almost prepared to offer his life to God, and then he starts to sing to God instead of crying and complain, because his heart was filled with joy of what God was doing in his life. The same thing happened with Paul. The same thing probably happened with many other believers among the Church of Jesus Christ in all the centuries. In many situations, we will not have a good time in this life, but we need to celebrate the name of God. That reminds me of a story of a missionary in Peru. His name is Romulo Sauni. You probably never heard about him. He was a missionary between the Quechua. It's a tribal in Peru. And there they had a terrorist group named Sendero Luminoso. They arrested all the pastors, the missionaries, the elders and deacons of the church, and they killed all of them trying to stop the growing of the Church of Jesus Christ. This man, Romulo Sauni, worked hard in Peru for many years, and he translated the Bible for the Quechua, and that took almost all his life and all his mission in Peru. And when he just finished his Bible, he met with a Brazilian missionary, and this missionary told him, "Well, Romulo, now you finish your work, you finish the translation of the gospel, what do you thinking? Move to Brazil or to other country in South America and continue your work there? Because you will probably die if you continue here." Romulo talked to him and he said, "Well, I cannot go there. I cannot run from my mission. God never said in His scripture that my work would be easy. But He said that my work will work. He knew it that His job was spreading the gospel, and the gospel would bring many lives to Christ. And that it was His goal. So He stayed in Peru, and the other missionary went to Brazil. 2 weeks after that, the missionary in Brazil received a call from another man in Peru, and he said, "Look, Romulo was arrested by the Sendero Luminoso, and they made terrible things with him, and after that, they killed him." Just 2 weeks after that conversation. And at the funeral of this man, the Sendero Luminoso was trying to make a terrible thing. They put spies in all the places around the church that Romulo would be buried. And they were trying to discover all the names of the leaders of the church, of the pastors, of the deacons, and they would be able to arrest all of them and kill all of them. It will be something much worse than just kill Romulo. But a few months after that funeral, one man came to the missionaries and he spoke about what happened in that day. He was one of the spies. He was there to see who were the leaders and take his name, their names, their anything they could have about them to arrest them and to kill them. And he said that by the morning, the early morning, no one was in the funeral. It was just the body. The chapel was empty. But suddenly, thousands of people came through the valleys of Peru going in direction of the chapel. And they were singing and praising God and celebrating the name of God. And he was with a walkie-talkie. I hope to pronunciate this word correctly. And through this walkie-talkie, they asked to this guy, "Can you see their leaders?" And he answered, "No, it's impossible to know who are their leaders." "What are you seeing?" they asked. And he answered, "I see a lot of people, thousands of people. They have the same face, they have the same expression, and they are saying the same words." "What are they saying?" they asked him. And he said, "God," they were singing, "God is powerful. Even in the middle of the valleys, He make the miracle happen." It was a joy song. They were celebrating the name of God. Their pastor was murdered by the Sendero Luminoso. But they came to glorify the name of God because what He made for them. And in that day, that man said that many terrorists came to Jesus Christ. And he was just one of them. It was a terrible situation, a murder, a terrible situation. They were trying to kill more pastors and more believers, and God made that a wonderful thing in His hand. And why we need to see stories like that, and why we need to think about these situations, because we, of course, have our own problems, or our own struggles, our own tribulations, but we are not alone in that. All the body of Christ in all the world, they are having the same problems and many times much worse problems than our problems, and they are still giving thanks to God because of His work in our lives and because of what He's doing among His people. So we cannot use the excuse of our suffering to say, I will not give thanks. We should give thanks in all things. Doesn't matter if you are having a terrible time. Doesn't matter if you are almost losing your body or your movements or anything. Give thanks to God, because the best thing in this world you already received from free. It's the salvation of Jesus Christ. This is the best thing that you can have. And this is enough. Forgive thanks, even if we are losing everything we have in this world. So, give thanks in all circumstances. And then we will see by the end of this verse that for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. This probably the worst part for those who are struggling with the idea of give thanks for everything. Because we can understand that sometimes the devil is trying to destroy our minds and bodies, that he's trying to bring us in distance of God. He's trying to make our faith worse. He's trying to destroy our faith. But here, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians that everything happens because this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. And this is something that we need to look again to the church of Thessalonians. They were being murdered for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of them probably received this letter, arrested in jail. They were not free to go or free to decide about their own lives. They were waiting for the day they would be killed for preaching the gospel and for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ through the Thessalonians. And now they realize this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. This is a challenge. We need to see what is happening here. Because if we don't see, we will not be able to give thanks to God. The first thing that we need to understand is that, of course, God is in control of everything. Many times I saw believers doesn't thinking about why the book of Job is in the scriptures. But it's so interesting to see the beauty of that book. God is in control of everything, even about what the devil is doing. The devil is not free to do everything he wants. He cannot destroy your life. He cannot touch you. He cannot seduce you, tempt you without the permission of God Himself. And this is the same thing that Revelation will say when it says that the devil is arrested. He's in jail. He cannot do anything without the permission of God. So we need to see and we need to realize that we are before the sovereign God. His will is the most important, is the only important will in all the world, in all the universe. It's only about His will. And what we need to realize too, that God already told us His will. He said, oh, my church, the church of Jesus Christ, I will save you, I will bring you to me, I will adopt you, I will justify you, I will sanctify your body and mind. I will transform you, and I will give you peace and hope about the future. But he said to you, must follow my commandments. You must preach the gospel, make disciples. You must do your work, take your cross, and follow me. That is what God says to your church, to his church. And many times we just avoid this reality and we don't think what God is doing among us. We know that we need to spread the gospel everywhere. So many times we will need to go to hospitals, for example, and to preach the gospel there. And if no one wants to go, if no one is ready to go, God will bring one of his children to the hospital using the ways he wants. I don't know how many times I visit someone very sick in a hospital and they were being a blessed for everyone there. I don't remember how many times. And through the suffering, they were glorifying the name of God. Through the situation that no one of us want to have in our bodies, God was using them to preach for those who are almost losing their lives because of their sickness. And God was saving his elect there. This is something that needs to make us think. Did you already read something about the first century, the persecution in the first century? It was impressed that every historian, even those Romans, among the Romans, they wrote the same thing. For each Christian that we killed, 20 new Christians appears. So they killed one, they tortured one, they send the believer to the beasts, they put the believer in the fire, and through their deaths, 20 new believers come to God. And then we need to think, what is happening? What God is telling us through these acts? Let's think about the apostles. All of them, they were murdered for the gospel. You can think about John. Oh, John was not killed, destroyed. They didn't cut his head or send him to the fire or crucified. Yeah, he was arrested for the rest of his life in a small room, in an island. It was terrible. It was not a good good time with tea waiting for his dad. No, he was arrested. It was tribulation for John too. All of them, they were killed. They die, they suffer, they were persecuted because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That should say something to us today. We need to give thanks for the suffering, for the tribulations. Because when we face the tribulation, God is changing us and he's using us to the glory of his name. If everything is okay in your life, if you have a wonderful time, if you don't have problems, if you are not, if God is not bringing you to situations that you are not challenged to preach the gospel and to find a reason to give thanks to God, this is probably something that will say that you need to be closer to God. Because this life is not for gladness and joy and happiness. God calls us to take a cross and follow him. And this is where we will glorify His name. Among our trials, tribulations, in all these circumstances, we will give thanks because we have our joy in our God, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's everything we need. If you need a reason today to give thanks, look to Jesus Christ and you will find many reasons. We don't need to think only in material things, in the things that we have in this world. We can think about the heaven, what we will have in the future. Usually, I think that a believer needs to read the end of Revelation at least once a month, just to remember about the sky, about the heavens, the new earth. Because we need to focus there. You will have a wonderful light in heaven. You will enjoy. You will not feel pain anymore. You will not feel sick anymore. You will not have any reason to complain. It's only the grace of God, the mercy of God, the greatness of God. And we will see Him with our eyes. He's there in the middle of the city, seated in His throne. And we will celebrate His name forever. This is our goal. Our life is not here. This is just something that God is using us to bring to our real home. So please, look to God and give thanks to Him, to Jesus Christ. Because He is the reason of our thanksgiving. Jesus Christ is the only reason. Why we have the daily bread? Because of Jesus Christ. He's giving us the daily bread. Why we are safe here in this church today? Because Jesus Christ is using us in this church to preach the gospel among this nation. And this is because of Jesus Christ. Why we can walk and talk and have a lot of fellowship with many people in this city because God is trying to use us to glorify His name, to be light amid darkness, to solve this world who is crazy and lost. They need to know the reason of thanksgiving. We are here today giving thanks to God. But outside of this church, they are lost. They don't have any reason. Their lives, it's many times much better than ours. You can remember about Psalm 73. When we look to them, to the ungodly, many times we think, wow, they're having a wonderful time in this world. But then you realize that they don't have the only fundament for our thanksgiving. And this is Jesus Christ. Move our eyes to Him. We need, and we will conclude here, we need to glorify and give thanks to God because what He already made in our lives. And not what we expecting Him to do. Our assurance is in the love of Jesus Christ, who sent His Son to save us. Our assurance is based in the grace of Jesus Christ, that any of our works will bring us to Him, but only Jesus with His works will bring us to God. Our assurance in this life is not because we will have things here, or we will have a wonderful time here. No, our assurance is we will be with Jesus Christ, even among tribulations, even among sufferings, even among trials. He is by your side. He's walking with you through the valley. He's helping you. He is your God. And you need to give thanks to Him because He will never let you alone. Never. I don't know if you are facing those trials today, if you are arrested in some kind of darkness in your mind or in your eyes, but try to see the light of Jesus Christ and you will have reason to give thanks to God. Let's close our eyes and pray. Oh Lord, we give thank you for everything. We want to give thank you today for all the circumstances, in all the circumstances in our lives. Oh God, we give you thanks for all the blessings that you are giving to us. We are so blessed to be able to stay here today, to have a house, to have safety, to have food and everything that we need to prolong our lives in this world. We give thank you, Lord, for the greatness that you have of giving us all those things. But we give you thanks too for all the trials of our lives. We give thanks because in the days that we were suffering, you was there helping us, comforting us through the Holy Spirit and giving us hope about our own future. We give thanks that when we didn't saw any escape, when any reason to joy or reason to have hope, you came to us and you brought the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and we will be able to dream and to have hope again because of you and not because of the circumstances of this world. We give you thanks because you are being a wonderful God to us. And we say to you that we don't deserve all the blessings that you are giving to us. And this is a reason for thanks too. We want to thank you because you save us from our sins, because you took us from our misery, because we are now part of the kingdom of God, and we will never be taken from your hand. Oh God, we want to praise your name and give thanks for all those things. Stay with us. In Jesus' name.